God bless you all.
Blog Talk Radio.
Hey everyone, this is Bonnie Kay in the Straight Wives Talk Show. This is a hard-hitting show that discusses the complexities of marriages between straight women to gay men. Each week, my co-host, Ms. Misty Hall, and I discuss issues that affect over 4 million women in this country and millions more around the world who find themselves unknowingly married to a gay or bisexual man. Also, if you would like to have any questions for our guest tonight, we're more than happy to have you call in. I'm going to give you our call-in number. And our guest call-in number is area code 646-716-4893. I'll repeat it for you one more time. Area code 646-716-4893. Tonight we have a very special guest on, and the special guest, before we even introduce you, I just wanted to say I'm really sorry that Misty won't be with us this evening. She's really under the weather, so I told her, since we have a wonderful guest, not to worry about it, and we'll take up the slack, but we all wish Misty she feels better. And without further ado, I will introduce our guest. She's been our guest here before several times, and I've had the pleasure of meeting her in Texas. And this is a woman who I hold up on a pedestal because she says things that nobody else is willing to say. And she doesn't care what anybody happens to think because she believes in everything she says. So without further ado, I'm going to introduce our guest tonight, Patsy Ray Dawson. Welcome, Patsy.
Thank you, Bonnie. Thank you for having me. I'm excited about being here. I guess one reason why I say what I think is because I'm getting it from the scriptures. And if you're studying what God says and sharing his word, then you can be pretty bold about it. So that's kind of what I try to do.
Thank you, Patsy. And, after meeting you, it's been such a wonderful experience because so many of the women who come to me really are suffering. And they're suffering because they were good girls. They tried to do everything the right way. They were good Christian girls that followed the rules. And then they get married, and it turns out that they're married to a man who's gay. And, of course, they believe so strongly in the scripture that they don't know what to do. They feel that they're going to be stuck in this marriage to a gay man. And I certainly can only address them logically. I'm not a Christian, so that's why when I met you, I was so thrilled that, I had somebody as a resource. And you really say it as it is. So maybe you could talk a little bit about this.
Well, a lot of Christians have the impression that God is kind of anti-sex, but actually, I think on your program, Bonnie, is the first time I said God loves sex, and I've just been saying that a lot because he does. He's inspired a whole book of the Bible, the Song of Solomon, that's teaching about sex, and it's teaching it from a woman's point of view. And in the Song of Solomon, the Shulamite tells a shepherd, let's get married, and I will initiate sex. The Bible presents the woman as the one who is initiating sex, and the man is just soaking it up and loving it. She tells the shepherd, my mother taught me how to please a man. I'm going to enjoy doing all kinds of physical things with you in marriage. I'm not going to be restricted to the missionary position. And, a lot of these men, what they like to do is blame their wives. They say, well, I'm not sexually attracted to you. That's your fault. You're too sexual. And I want you to let me initiate. That means probably that he's not going to be initiating very often. That is totally contrary to what the Bible teaches about a feminine, godly woman. A feminine, godly woman enjoys sex. She enjoys going up to her husband and initiating sex, flirting with him, getting him aroused, even when maybe he thinks he's too tired. That's one of the charms of a wife, is that her husband can be disinterested and maybe too tired. But if he is attracted to women, then it's pretty easy to turn him on. And our husbands like that quality in us because we can help them enjoy loving when if it was just left up to them, they might not be able to do that. One thing that I think traps women in these marriages is that they do not understand mental adultery. I think men preachers, elders, whoever counsels with women have done a real good job of keeping secret from women just exactly what's involved in mental adultery. I've had a lot of women tell me they've gone to the preacher, the elders, to talk about, you know, my husband's not interested in sex with me. And the number one reaction is, well, it must be your fault. You're not tempting him. You're not there for him. The first reaction is to blame the woman. I do not know of a single case, and that's not to say it's not out there. I'm just saying I don't know it, of where they have gone and said, well, okay, let's find out what's wrong with this man, that he's not treating you like a normal husband would. So there is a tremendous amount of prejudice in the religious world, contrary to the Bibles, against women, especially if their husband is not sexually interested in them. What I've been telling women is, if your husband's not having sex with you, he's having sex with somebody, and it might be himself, masturbating, loving himself. And Jesus clearly condemns masturbation as mental adultery when it is keeping the man from his wife. If he's not having sex with her, but he's masturbating, then he is involved in mental adultery, and he's sinning against her. And Jesus plainly makes it clear that is scriptural grounds for divorce in Matthew 5, verses 27 through 30. And, you know, a lot of times women, we read this passage and Jesus is talking about cutting off your hand, plucking out your eye. This is right in the context of talking about mental adultery. And we think, wow, why is that stuck in there? That doesn't make any sense. That's because women don't know enough about men. But once you realize that this is part of lust for men, then that's perfectly logical what Jesus said. Jesus said, if you're using your hand to commit mental adultery with some woman, then you're guilty of adultery and your wife has scriptural grounds to divorce you.
And why would a man, I'm just saying, you know, from your opinion, with your and want a mess, when he has a wife who wants to make love with him?
Well, what I have learned in a lot of my reading, and I have some male friends that I talk, ask pretty blunt questions, and they give me pretty blunt answers. And what I have learned is that a normal heterosexual man is turned off by masturbation. Even if his wife is overweight and doesn't wear makeup, and he would rather she was trimmer and wore makeup all the time, he would prefer to have sex with her than to masturbate. Mm-hmm. Normal heterosexual men do not choose masturbation as a sexual outlet.
Mm-hmm.
I've had some men talk to me where their wives, their Christian wives, are so hung up that they just tell them, well, why don't you just go off and take care of yourself? That is insulting to a normal heterosexual man. And they've told me that. They said, it just makes me feel so unloved that she would tell me to go do something like that. And the only reason those men do that is because their wife is telling them, you know, I'm not available for you. That is the only reason I know of that a normal heterosexual man would engage in masturbation, is when his wife has some hang-ups and she's making it clear she's not there for him. But a normal heterosexual man prefers a woman. He prefers his wife. And these guys make that clear to me. They say, I'm tempted by other women because my wife's not there, and it makes me angry towards my wife because she's the only woman I want. I don't want to commit adultery.
You've done a lot of counseling through the years with couples. And what are some of the reasons that women give you why they don't want to have sex with their husbands?
A lot of it, I think, is their upbringing. You know, we're not too far away from Victorian age when even the medical doctors and the psychologists, they were teaching that normal women didn't have any sexual desires. And a lot of times women during this age, when they give birth to a child and they were nursing it, the hormones of nursing would cause her to have her first orgasm. And these women had been taught that good women don't enjoy it, that they would be horrified that they were enjoying sex with their husband. And a lot of them would submit to mutilating surgery so that they would never experience that nasty feeling again. So a lot of this feeling, and actually this attitude began right in the first century, right after Christ died. The church leaders back then, they looked out at all the pagans and they said, okay, the pagans have their temples to prostitutes. They have their temples to virgins. So we have to be as good as the pagans. And they started glorifying virginity. And this is when the doctrine of the total depravity of little children came in. This comes from sexual ignorance.
Mm-hmm.
And they looked at the pagans instead of studying their Bible, because the Bible is just rich with information blessing the sexual relationship. And so this has kind of just been passed down to us throughout the centuries, getting worse and worse. And actually, you know, Queen Victoria made prudery popular, and what is so ironic is she had nude paintings in her apartment. She was not a prude with the prince, but this was something she was advised to do politically, and so she said, well, I'm not going to have any divorced person in my court, and the young United States was wanting to be politically accepted by the old countries in Europe. And they started adopting a lot of her attitudes. It was political correctness, and it has been masqueraded as religion. It has been masqueraded as medical science. And, you know, medical science is not totally caught up right now with a woman's ability to be a fabulous lover. You know, God created women to be fabulous lovers for their husbands. And women, a lot of times, have let men do their studying for them instead of studying for themselves. And so, and society just tends to go to one extreme to the other if they're not focused on trying to please God and studying the Bible.
Let me ask you this question. Let's say a woman finds herself in a marriage to a man, can't be a husband to her because he has his own sexual issues. I mean, scripturally, does she have to stay married to him?
Well, God in Ephesians, not in Ephesians, in 1 Corinthians 7, where he's talking about the law of compatibility, they have a responsibility to each other sexually. And if he is a normal heterosexual man, and say, for example, he is a diabetic and has legitimate physical problems, if they started off that marriage healthy and all of a sudden he can't perform, they can still cuddle, they can still have fondling and bring each other to orgasms in that way. And so they're going to still enjoy each other's body. It's you know, and these guys, they don't want to cuddle. They don't want to kiss.
What happens when they don't? I mean, is it right? I mean, is there some place within the scriptures that God says, have to sit and suffer for your whole life now?
I believe that Matthew 5, 27 through 30, where it is talking about mental adultery, I believe Jesus is giving women scriptural grounds to divorce these men.
Mm-hmm.
If you've got a legitimate physical problem, then let's find out what it is. Let's go to the doctor. Let's take care of it. These problems, when they are legitimate, for the most part, can be taken care of if a person is willing to do that. But these men aren't willing to do that. Mm-hmm. So what I tell women is, if he's not having sex with you, he's having sex with somebody. And mm-hmm. the only person, and of course, my faith's not a substitute for somebody else's, and that's why I'm giving scriptures for them to study. But and also trying to make women aware of what mental adultery is. Men know about this, and they keep this a big secret from women. And so women just need to realize this is part of lust. If, you know, a normal man is wanting to have sex with his wife, and I don't care what she looks like. That may be important to him, but it's not important enough to keep him out of her bed. And
right.
So if he's not having sex with her, he's having sex with someone, and God is giving her scriptural grounds to divorce him for mental adultery.
The grounds scripturally for that?
Now, what was that? I didn't quite hear.
What if there was actual adultery, not just mental?
Well,
is there grounds in the Bible for divorce for that?
Oh, yes, absolutely, absolutely. And most people understand that. What they don't understand, most Christians don't understand, is mental adultery.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like a lot of Christians seem to think mental adultery is hard to commit. But, you know, that's a big secret. It's not hard to commit. Well, these guys are out doing it all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not so much that they're draining off their energy, that they're not there for their wives. They're not there for their wives mentally. They're not there for them emotionally. And their bodies are responding to that bad attitude.
Kathy, what about women who marry a gay man? And, you know, I know that the gay man didn't marry her just to, you know, try to hurt her. He was trying not to be gay. You know, he does it in good intentions, really working to, you know, try to be, you know, straight, and it just doesn't work because he's gay. So under those circumstances, is it allowable to get a divorce scripturally if you marry someone who is, you know, a gay man?
Well, you know, you talked about how we met at the weekend, I don't remember exactly what you called it, in Texas, and got to listen to people's stories.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing I kept hearing over and over in the stories is that these women would talk about, while they are dating, the husband's, the future husband is asking her some kind of question to determine if it's going to be a problem for her if he's not going to be there for her sexually. These
uh-huh.
guys, before marriage, are trying to determine if this woman is someone they can get away with defrauding sexually. And so I have a real hard time thinking these guys are as sweet and innocent as their wives might want to think they are, if they are finding out ahead of time if she's going to be squawking, if they're going to be neglecting her sexually.
Mm-hmm.
They don't want to be homosexual. Maybe they think she will cure them, but they're not being upfront with their wives. Then when there are problems, instead of saying, "Hey, honey, it's not you, I'm not attracted to women," they're saying, "Hey, honey, you just don't turn me on," and they're destroying their wives' self-image. They are lying about sex. They are lying about themselves. So I think these guys, they know a whole lot more about what's in store for that woman than what she does, and I don't think they're so innocent during courtship. So basically what I think even in those cases, these guys have sexual hormones. They are having to drain them off some way. They may not be going out to a gay bar or
mm-hmm.
someplace like that and having actual penetrating homosexual sex with another man. But if they are masturbating to gay images, in their mind or somewhere else, then they are committing mental adultery and the woman has scriptural grounds to divorce them. Jesus made that very clear.
Where are those men, for people who want to know?
Okay, it's in Matthew 5, verse 27 through 30, where Jesus, right in the midst of talking about mental adultery, he says, you know, if your hand offends you or if your eye offends you, these are tools of masturbation, these are tools of mental adultery. Jesus says it's better for you to have these, to pluck out your eye or cut off your hand than to lose your soul, to be thrown into the garbage dump is actually what he's talking about there. And then he goes on talking about mental adultery again. Jesus is talking about masturbating. If you're masturbating, you are committing mental adultery. Now, that's not what I said. That's what Jesus said.
I guess, you know, you see so many people in the ministry these days who are caught, you know, out there doing all kinds of things. And yet it seems as if, you know, their wives forgive them and overlook these things. Do you see that happening?
Yes, there's a lot of pressure among religious people for people to just say, well, you know, I'll tell a story. A lady, her husband is probably not a homosexual. He's a serial adulterer. He has been this for long terms, had a long-term lover, and she has been trying to deal with their marriage. She finally went to some men in the church asking for their help. Their reaction to her was, one of the men told her, he said, I committed adultery, I went forward, and the church forgave me. My wife and I never talked about it again. Why can't you do that? Well, her husband has been doing this for years. He's also a sexual addict, and he refuses to get help to deal with it. And the attitude towards her is, you know, is just forgive it, just forgive him and forget about it and move on. Their marriage is in shambles because this man does not know how to love a woman. She's deprived. And you know, one thing, Bonnie, I've learned from talking to you, my background is I have dealt a lot with sexual addiction. I've dealt a lot with serial adultery. And then when you and I started talking about homosexuality, what I began to see is parallels between all three of these. The main difference is the object of the man's lust. And what I see in all of these men is, you know, a young wife may think, well, I can survive this, I can stand it now. But as that marriage ages, he is going to become impotent with her. You know, there's no emotional bonding. You know, that's why God wants us to have sex with our husband, is for emotional bonding. He wants our husbands to bond to us. He wants us to bond to them. And there's all kinds of hormones released in sex that is binding the hearts together and such. When a woman is in, when she thinks she's trapped in a marriage to, I call them sexual duds, these men who do not know how to love a woman emotionally or sexually, when they are in marriages like this, as that marriage ages, it will get worse. I have seen this over and over again. And you teach in your material that these men eventually become impotent with their wives. They just get where they can't get it up for a woman anymore. It's emotionally exhausting to be living a lie. And eventually these men cannot do that anymore. So, you know, a young woman that is married to someone like this, my advice to her now is to get your book about the checklist for women who wonder. Go to, you know, get acquainted with the external characteristics of these men, get acquainted with Jesus' teaching about mental adultery. Get acquainted with the role that masturbation plays in mental adultery, and realize this man is having sex with somebody. And he may think because he's having sex with himself, he's not doing anything wrong. Well, he is. He's committing mental adultery. He's defrauding his wife. I had one husband ask me one time, he said, well, what if he is visualizing his wife while he's masturbating? Surely that's okay. Well, if his wife's climbing the wall because he's not there with her, that's not okay. I had told that to a preacher who works with men, and he said, well, I can almost guarantee you he's not visualizing his wife while he's masturbating.
I wanted to ask you this question. You know, and I'm not really familiar with where this comes about from Christianity, but I've met so many women, you know, through the years, you know, because I'm older now. But, you know, even going back to when I was younger, and they would say, well, the whole purpose of sex when you're a Christian is really for procreation. Have you heard that before?
Yes. That is a doctrine that comes from the Catholic Church. It comes from, it goes back to the first couple of centuries of when the Christian church started coming about, as they were teaching the doctrine of the total depravity of little children. And in fact, if your listeners, I have a free PDF file on my website. If people will go to my website, PatsyRayDawson.com, and over on the right-hand side, it says bookshelf. And when they click on it, right up at the top, it says free booklets. The first one listed is Why Christians Make the Best Lovers, and it gives 8 reasons God designed for sex. The least important is procreation, making babies. Proverbs 5 talks about the special sexual charms of the older wife. God says the best lover is the older wife. It's not this sweet young hormonal thing. It is the older wife. And so as a couple ages, sex gets better. And when a woman passes her childbearing age, sex is better. Lovemaking is wonderful with an older husband. And that's what Proverbs 5 is talking about, you know. God is warning men, you know, when you hit this midlife crisis, when you think you got to get rid of your older wife for a sweet young thing, let me tell you, she can't compare. Your wife loves you, and what she's going to bring to the marriage bed, a sweet young thing, cannot compare. So people can go pick up that PDF booklet, Why Christians Make the Best Lovers. It's there for free. And read the eight reasons and see the scriptures that God uses sex to comfort couples after a death. You know, our human wisdom would tell us, wow, the last thing we might be thinking about when somebody important in our life has died is having sex with them. God created sex as a way for husbands and wives to comfort each other after the death. And the example is given is when David and Bathsheba lost their child. Their child that died, and it says David comforted Bathsheba by having sex with her.
Mm-hmm.
Now, isn't that powerful scripture?
It definitely is. And I think it's, you know, a very important scripture. I just don't know how things got so distorted along the way, because, you know, you talk about women who are, you know, they're kind of, you know, don't want to have sex with men. But I know that many of them have really grown up with this philosophy that sex is dirty. You're not supposed to enjoy sex, you know, that it's there for a man because he has to do it. I mean, I feel so sorry when women are really robbed of what's, you know, rightfully theirs, you know, by the church who keeps telling them that that's not the purpose of sex and that, you know, making them feel guilty because they want to, you know, enjoy making love with their husbands, which to me is the whole buildup of what intimacy is in a marriage. I mean, I think that people underrate it so much. You know, they say, well, sex only takes, you know, the least amount of time in a marriage, but to me, it's the most important part of a relationship because it builds that, you know, intimacy between people. Do you agree with that?
Right. Yes, yes. In fact, what I tell people is that the Bible spends more time talking about sex, about lovemaking. From just take it from the positive point. The Bible spends more time talking about sex from the positive viewpoint than it does any other area of marriage. So if we say what God thinks is the most important thing in a person's marriage on just the amount of space in the Bible he's devoted to it, good, wonderful lovemaking is way up at the top. And what a lot of these churches get hung up on is subjection. And what has happened in a lot of these churches is they have given men a false sense of entitlement and a false sense of superiority over women because they do not recognize the role of sex that God has designed for marriages. Sex, like you talk about, that is wonderful soul mating between a husband and a wife. You know, not only is the act extremely pleasurable, but laying there afterward on each other's arm, or maybe even still laying there, still connected, and just visiting and talking, that is such wonderful soul mating, bonding between that husband and wife. And that's what God says. That is the most important part of marriage. And it dawned on me just the other day, Bonnie, that not only are Christians extremely ignorant about the positive role and the importance of lovemaking in a marriage, they are also extremely ignorant about the Bible's teaching of the negative part of it. And I think because we are so ignorant of the negative part of it, that is why a lot of these men, and I'm just reading a lot of material lately, that a lot of men, sexual predators of all kinds, they hide out in Christian churches. And Christian churches are wonderful places for them to hide out because Christians are so ignorant about sex. Christians are so ignorant of the positive role of sex, and they are so ignorant about evil sexual men that it's just like hiding out in the kindergarten. And churches are just filled with sexual predators. In fact, I bought a new book recently. I've only had it a few days, and I'm so impressed with it. It's called Predators, Pedophiles, Rapists, and Other Sex Offenders. It's written by Anna, it's S-A-L-T-E-R, Salter, a PhD. This is book, the title, you would not know this from the title, but she wrote this book for families. She said, incest, molestation, rape, all this stuff is so prevalent in our society. She wrote this book because families are so naive about what's going on with these evil men that it makes them sitting ducks. It makes them very gullible. So this book is written for families. And as I was reading this, this dawned on me, you know, that Christians are so ignorant about the evil men, it makes them sitting ducks because they don't have the right kind of family relationships, and they aren't on their guard. They're on guard for the wrong thing.
Well, I think, you know, also, Patsy, I don't know if you'll disagree with me on this. I think you'll probably agree with me. But a lot of these men who are sexually dysfunctional, and I'm not just saying gay. You know, there's so many other kinds of sexual dysfunction. But
right.
Ones who just can't have a normal sexual life, they look for Christian women who grow up in the churches who don't have Christian, you know, sexual experience because of the fact that if women don't know what to compare it to, you know, and they say to a man, well, I don't think this is quite the way it should be, and he lashes
right.
out and say, well, you don't know what you're talking about. And sometimes I've had women come to me who say, well, they just didn't know any better because they never had experience, and they just thought, well, this is what it is. And I think this is
yeah.
another reason why they target Christian women, don't you?
Yes, yes. And that's what this psychologist, one of the points she is making, she was in a program where she could actually interview these guys, and what they told her could not be used to prosecute them. The number of illicit, horrible sexual contacts these men have had, like even a 25-year-old man, she quotes, had 89 illicit contacts. It's just mind-boggling what they're doing. So she is getting this information directly from these men, and they are telling her what they look for. They're looking for a very naive person who doesn't have worldly experience that they can manipulate and teach her whatever, they can make her think whatever they want to, and abuse her in lots of ways. And when we were in Houston and listening to everybody's stories, we were hearing comments about these men are asking these women in courtship, questions about how important sex is to you. Will you have a problem if I'm not there for you sexually? They're trying to judge whether this is a woman that they can manipulate and deceive her, and that they can use her, and she's not going to make their life miserable because they're not there sexually. But a lot of these women, a lot of these women don't realize what they're being asked, and mm-hmm. because, they love the man,
and they're naive, too.
Yeah, they're naive, and they don't know what they're being asked, and then when they get in the marriage and they find out, wow, he's not ever there.
Women, and you met some of these women too, Patsy, when you were in Texas, who, have husbands who really hide in the church, or they hide behind the ministry. There's some of them are pastors, some of them are, active in the different old church, choir, whatever it
right.
is. And, in the church, they hide behind it in the sense that, it's easy for them to say, well, this is not how Christian women are supposed to behave, or, I'm a good Christian, we don't do things like that, or you're asking me to do things that, Christian people don't do. And then the woman feels so belittled because, she starts doubting herself.
Right.
Exorbitant amount of men who hide in the Christian ministry, don't you?
Yes. And the more things I am reading now, this, in fact, in this book, Predators, she talks about that when all the scandals came out about the Catholic priests and young boys, that is what kind of blew the lid off of people becoming more aware of how these people hide out in the churches. And the one thing they do is when they get in the church, they get very active, so that if something comes out from their family or their wife, everybody's going to say, oh, he's such a wonderful man, that can't be true. And there is so much ignorance in the Christian churches, not only on the purpose of sex in a wonderful marriage, but also ignorance and being naive about these evil men, that they are able to just lie to them and they manipulate the religious leadership too, just like they manipulate their wives. And of course, some of the religious leadership is involved in this kind of stuff too. That is something that is just becoming more and more common knowledge. I am just flabbergasted at how common it is.
Patsy, what about somebody like Ted Haggard? I mean, who was the leader of this multi-million people church, and when he bought, his homosexual relationships, and he says, well, I'm not gay, I'm straight with issues. How do you view that issue?
Well,
I mean, do you think it's possible somebody like that's not gay, but he's having sex with men?
Well, I think, Bonnie, I have learned from you on that. You've got a real succinct statement for that, and I'm not quite remembering it. If you're going to have to correct me because I'm not remembering it exactly right, but your comment about if he's having sex with a man, then he's gay. So how is it you say that? I did not quote you
right.
Well,
I say that if he thinks about having sex with a man, if he's viewing sex pornography with a man, if he wants to have sex with a man, if he's having sex with a man, if he's thinking about sex with a man, it's gay. You know, and I always say that the penis is the dividing line, you know, as far as I'm concerned.
Okay.
That,
yeah.
You know,
okay.
Once you want one, then you're not straight. I mean, that's the way I view it. Now, other people don't necessarily agree with me. In fact, I had a young man, you know, who wrote to me in the last day, and you know, he's not young, he's 45. And,
okay.
You know, he was concerned because he's having these feelings. You know, he's engaged to someone he really loves madly, but he's having gay feelings. You know, he fantasizes, but he's never acted on it, so he says. And he
yeah.
has no intentions to act on it. And the woman that he has, it's not going to be a big issue because she has a low libido. She's not really into sex. And he does madly love her, and he can perform sex with her. Of course, he's taking medication. So, you know, I went back and forth with him a few times, and, of course, he didn't like the answer I gave him. And I said to him, even if you've never acted on it, never even if you ever will act on it, you still are obligated to tell her before you marry her that you had this issue where you fantasized. Do you agree with that?
Yes, and the fact that you said that he said that he's already figured out, see, this isn't going to be an issue with her. She's got a low libido.
Yeah,
well,
she's the one who doesn't really want it. So it should
yeah.
be okay even if he doesn't really want it because it's not that important to her.
Yeah.
I think these men miss the whole point, you know, Patsy. It's not just about the sex. It's about the intimacy that builds from making
yeah.
love with someone.
Yes, it's about the soul mating. These men do not know how to soul mate with a woman.
Exactly.
And that is the whole purpose of lovemaking in the Song of Solomon.
Mm-hmm.
When the Shulamite's talking about the shepherd, you know, is I'm going to be initiating it. I'm going to be soul mating with you. And she rejects Solomon, who's got 120 wives at this point. Because all he cares about is her body. Solomon, and I teach that Solomon was a sexual addict. His fetish was virgins. He made love to 1,000 virgins over a 40-year reign. When you do
mm-hmm.
the math, that averages a new woman. This is including courtship, getting married, the honeymoon, and moving on to the next woman. He averaged a new woman about a little less than every 2.5 weeks. His
mm-hmm.
fetish was virgins. And he never, in the book of Ecclesiastes, he said, out of 1,000 women, I never found one. And it wasn't necessarily the women's fault. He just had his fetish, and no woman was going to be able to satisfy him. So these men, and what hurts the women so bad, I think, in these marriages, Bonnie, is not the absence of sex. It is the absence of emotional love. That's
right, and I think
hurts.
That women need to know, I don't care if you're Christian, Jewish, Muslim, or otherwise, as Patsy was saying earlier, a healthy heterosexual man wants a woman. And, you know, I often write about in my newsletters, and I share it with everybody. I'm 80, 90 pounds overweight, 60 years old, and my boyfriend, who is 72, always puts his hands all over me. He always wants to make love with me. And it's not just about sex. As he says, it's his way to show, you know, express our love to each other. We're together
yeah.
15 and a half years next month. And my point is that I'm not saying that every man has the same libido or the same desires for sex. But when you're 25, 30, 40 years old, that's the time when all this has to develop. You know, so
right.
by the time you're 65, 60, or 75, if it's gone, at least you've built up the intimacy over the years. But normal, straight men, not the gay men aren't normal, but they're not straight. But, you know, men who are heterosexual, they want to have sex with women. And it's that simple. Even
right.
men who can't perform still want to have sex with women. That's why they
yeah.
have all these pills out there, right? Viagra.
Yes. Yes.
For
yes.
men who want to perform, but they're having difficulty because, you know, there are physical components to it. But at least they're taking the pills. But if they're taking the pills and not using it with their wife, you know they're using it somewhere else. And so many of our women end up finding all these pills, you know, in their husband's names all over the, you know, being hidden. And they're not using it for their wife, so that has to be really something for you to think about when you're the wife and still not having any kind of sex.
Right.
But no woman should ever feel she has to ask for it. I mean, to me, that's so degrading. I mean, it's something when both of you want it. I'm not saying you can't have the best of fun, but I'm saying no woman should always have to feel she's approaching her husband and he's rejecting her sexually and coming up with a list of reasons that are the most ridiculous reasons. Wouldn't you say so?
Yes, yes. And that's what a lot of these women don't understand, because these husbands are really good at the weasel words, at making it be her fault instead of theirs. And you know, they're trying to solve a problem. Well, if I need to do this, okay, I'm going to do that. And once they solve one problem, he just moves on to the next one. And normal heterosexual men, just like what you said, Bonnie, they've got their hands all over their woman. If she's receptive to them, they are kissing, they're hugging, they're patting her on the rear. And she's patting them on the rear. It's just a wonderful, touching soul mating relationship between them. And these guys, they marry a virgin. She doesn't know what normal guys act like. Lots of girls, Bonnie, lots of women, when they're dating these men, they think, well, I am dating a really
nice
good
guy.
Christian boy, yeah, because he's not trying to get me in bed. And one thing, Bonnie, I think while we're talking about this, some women get fooled because their husband is interested in boobs. And they think, well, if he's interested in boobs, he's got to be heterosexual. And you and I have talked about how that gay men, I don't know if all of them are this way or not, but a lot of them are fascinated with a woman's boobs. That's the only thing on a woman they care about. And since I have been talking to women about this, more and more women are saying, yeah, when we were dating, that's all he wanted to do. He wanted to pet with my boobs, but he wasn't interested in intercourse with me. I just thought he was a nice Christian boy. One lady recently told me that she's married and said when they're in the car driving, her husband is wanting to touch her breast, and because that's safe. He can touch her breasts in the car, and he knows there's not going to be able to have sex. So, but he's not doing it when it would lead the normal part of foreplay leading to sex. So
yeah,
you might make some comments for our listeners.
I've met a number of gay guys, not a lot, but a number, who are obsessed, like, with the breasts. And I don't think it has really anything to do with sexuality. I mean, it doesn't turn them on to want to have sex with a woman.
Right.
But I think it could be some kind of, maybe they feel that if they have to touch something, at least, you know, they don't feel they're internalizing themselves into a woman. This is on the outside. And, maybe it's something relating back to their mothers and a relationship they had with their mothers as far as the breasts. You know, feeling like it's motherly thing or that's an okay thing. You know, I know that a lot of them do, but I can't tell you that I really believe they're turned on sexually by them, do you?
Well, all these women that have mentioned this to me, their husbands were not turned on sexually for them. In fact, one woman told her husband, you know, man, you're really turning me on sexually. Come on, let's get with it. And he was, you know, she was being turned on, but he wasn't, and he was letting her know that's all he was interested in was her breasts. And she finally had to tell him to stop touching her breasts because it was turning her on, and he never delivered.
Yeah, that's pretty sad, isn't it?
Yes,
it
is.
A lot of these men don't deliver. And do you differentiate between men who are sexual duds in bed versus homosexual men? I mean, can a man be a sexual dud yet still be straight?
I think he can be. I I know of some instances of where men have been shamed by their mothers, maybe an older sister, maybe even by their dad when they were growing up. You know, that maybe a parent walked in on them when they were masturbating or something, and they were shamed, and so they still have desire for a woman, but they feel guilty about it because they think, you know, this is some nasty, horrible relationship, and I should not be desiring a woman, and so they turn themselves off sexually. So I do believe there are sexual duds who are not homosexuals. However, I've been talking to women about marriage problems for about 40 years, and that being married to a sexual dud is the number one marriage problem women talk to me about.
Mm-hmm.
And when I first started this, I did not know that homosexuals married straight women as to cover up what they were. I just did not know that. And I can look back on some of those early conversations, and I feel certain that those women were probably married to homosexuals. And, you know, and I wish there'd been somebody like you then, Bonnie, that I could have said, hey, you need to go to Bonnie Kay's website and get acquainted with the checklist and look and see if this is what you are dealing with all of these signs that are not a normal heterosexual man who has a problem.
Although I will tell you this, Patsy, I have a book that'll be out in a few weeks, and it's a remake of a book I had a number of years ago called Man Readers, A Woman's Guide to Dysfunctional Men. And
okay.
I've updated it. I've changed around some of the things in there because I took it off the market a few years ago, and a lot of people were asking for it. So I've really, like I say, redesigned a lot of it and updated a lot of it. And, you know, I go through a whole list of dysfunctional men, either emotionally, you know, sexually or mentally. And it's
uh-huh.
really scary to see the millions upon millions of men who fit into any one of these categories. But the thing is that I do believe in my heart there are men who just have no technique. I mean, you know, it's not like they don't want to make love with you. They just don't have technique, and they try, but, you know, they are sexual duds in bed. And like
yeah.
another example, I was married to a man one time, not my past marriage, but the marriage before, who had a sexual addiction. It was part of his obsessive-compulsive behavior, and it manifested in a number of ways, but including sexually. And this man loved me to death, but the point is that he wanted to make love to me until I felt like I wanted to die. And it wasn't,
yeah.
it wasn't out of love, it was out of his personal obsessive-compulsive behavior. And he
yeah.
could have sex with me three times a day, and that's just what it was. It was sex. It wasn't making love, although he loved me, but it was to relieve himself of his compulsion. So I've
right.
had a lot of women through the years who had husbands like that, and I know they're not gay, but they have sexual addictions from obsessive-compulsive behavior. And I say to women, it doesn't matter what his problem is. If it's something you're not comfortable with, or it's something that you don't want to do, or you don't think is right, then don't do it. I mean, sex isn't supposed to be uncomfortable. It's
right.
supposed to be something wonderful between two people, and some men are just asking for things, even if they're not gay. They want other stuff done to them that doesn't feel natural for women. I tell them, don't do it. Do you agree with that?
Right. And sexual addiction, you know, that there's tons of books out there about that. And these men, everything is sexual to them. It's, you know, they are just, like you say, they are way beyond expressing affection to their wives. And a lot of times, you know, if a woman has a good, healthy attitude toward lovemaking and she knows how to enjoy it and she knows how to be with her husband, but if her gut's telling her something's wrong, then I have gotten where I'm telling women more and more, listen to your gut. You may not understand what it's telling you, and if you don't understand what it's telling you, then start researching, start trying to find out what your gut's telling you. But our guts can really warn us of things that, you know, something's just not right here. And we need to pay attention to that.
great because, you know, there's some men who are into, you know, bondage and discipline and all kinds of fetishes and, you know, sexual things that to me are really, you know, I try not to make judgment on anybody what they want to do. But I also tell women, if it's not for you, like, I know women have come to me, you know, this is not the gay thing, but their husbands are swingers and they wanted their wives to have sex with other men while they're having sex with other women. And they tell them this is going to enhance your marriage, you know, that it'll make our sex life so much better. And it's so unnatural. The woman doesn't want to do it. And I tell her, don't do it. You know, don't do anything that you wouldn't normally want to do.
Right.
It has nothing to do with any sexuality except, you know, making love should be what it's about and being comfortable and happy with it.
Right, yes. And it's about soulmating. Soulmating with your spouse, building an emotional bond so that when you're older, you know, that older sex is just going to be more pleasurable. It's more pleasurable physically. It's more pleasurable emotionally. Especially, you know, if a couple's been able to build on it for a lifetime, but even for older couples getting together, it's just a wonderful relationship that God has designed for people to enjoy their whole life. And if one person is bringing in somebody else to that bond, then it's getting in the way of that husband and wife bonding together like they should.
See, my belief is, even though I'm not a Christian, you know, I certainly know about the words of Jesus and Christianity and Judaism and, you know, Islamic religions, any religion. I would think that, you know, it would be God's wish that, you know, women should be happy. That he doesn't want them suffering. He doesn't want them, you know, feeling belittled. He doesn't want them having to just be somebody for a man to use at his convenience when he wants her. I mean, I don't think this is what God's about, do you?
No. God has designed sex to bless people's lives and to make them happy. And the comment, and we're just about out of time, the comment you just made about he does not want them to be belittled. A lot of what goes on with these men to manipulate their wives is a form of mental abuse. It's spouse abuse. Just take the sex out of it. It is spouse abuse. And so if these guys are having to emotionally and mentally abuse their wives to force something sexually on them, then that marriage is, it is in major trouble. It is not anything like what God wants a husband and wife to have between each other.
So, Patsy, you know, as a Christian woman, you know, you're letting other women know that they don't have to be suffering servants, so to speak, for the rest of their lives. Is that correct?
Yes. God does not trap anyone in marriage to someone who is sexually defrauding and abusing them. Our ignorance of the scriptures is what traps us. God does not do the trapping. And Jesus has made it very plain that mental adultery is scriptural grounds for divorce. And all Christians know that actual physical adultery is scriptural grounds. Jesus just made it clear, hey, fellas, I'm a lot more picky about how you treat your wives than that. If you're masturbating and lusting after a man or a woman, making love to yourself, you know, Bonnie, I have felt like there ought to be a word for a guy that is in love with his own penis, who's in love. Well, narcissism is one of the words, but there ought to be a word for that. He's making love to somebody, and it may be himself.
Uh-huh.
God does not trap women in marriages to men like this.
Well, Patsy, I can't thank you enough because I know that our listeners really need that reassurance, need a push from Patsy every now and then to realize that, you know, they just have to move on in their lives and they can't get hung up on feeling guilty or feeling that, you know, this is the way it's supposed to be because I made a vow. I think when you make vows under false pretenses, then they don't count. You know, I'm sure that when you're making a promise to love somebody for better or worse, rich or poor, till death do you part. You know, gay wasn't part of that, you know, formula.
Right, right.
And I really do believe that God wouldn't want any woman to have to stay married to a gay man. I mean, his intention is not to have to test a woman and seeing how miserable she can be in life. You know, mistakes happen, you know, under good intentions or bad intentions, but you can fix them. And I think that's something that every Christian woman needs to work on, feeling that they can get out of a situation and not have to feel guilty about it, and not have to feel that there's something wrong with them for wanting to be out of a marriage like that.
Right.
So you confirm that, right?
Yes, yes. I tell people, you know, God himself is a divorced husband. After he said, I hate divorce, what he hates is what people do that leads to it. He turned right around and divorced Israel. And because she refused to be faithful to him. And so God is a divorced husband, and people take a lot of these scriptures out of context and build a whole doctrine around them that is not there in the Bible. God does not trap any woman in marriage, in a miserable marriage to a man who does not love her heterosexually.
Well, Pat, enough. And if people, how is your show going, by the way?
Well, we are doing it the third Thursday of every month, so they can go to Blog Talk Radio and search on God Loves Sex. We changed the name of it to God Loves Sex, so they can go search on that, God Loves Sex by Patsy and Oscar. And right now we're talking about boundaries, and, you know, you have to draw boundaries in marriage, and that's kind of what you and I are talking about, drawing boundaries with a man who refuses to love his wife as a heterosexual. God gives her the right to draw boundaries. So we're still doing it once a month, and we get kind of plain about stuff. Oscar and I both make it clear we both enjoy sex, and God loves sex. That's the title of the radio program, so we get pretty plain.
And let's talk a little bit about what books you have available right now.
Well, right now, I've got some. Go to my website and look at bookshelf. I've got three free PDFs, Why Christians Make the Best Lovers, Male and Female, God's Genius. That's part of the problem with homosexuals, sexual addicts, and serial adulterers. They do not have appreciation for the differences between men and women. Then I have a booklet called Adultery and Sexual Addiction, A Plan for Healing the Soul in the Marriage. Right now, my first volume, In the Marriage, A Taste of Heaven, is still out of print, working real hard to get it back in print. But I do have a book, God's People Make the Best Lovers, on Amazon. Or they can get it on my website, wherever people are interested. And then I have the Song of Solomon. It's a CD album. Have a CD album for my first book on Marriage, Taste of Heaven, and then a CD album out on Challenges in Marriage. Those are all classes that I've taught that are available in audio format. So I've got some new books in the works, just like you do, but this takes a ton of work to get them out there, so I'm still pushing to get them out.
Certainly does, and that's for sure. Patsy, I mean, you're just such an inspirational speaker, and I'm hoping that we'll be able to have you come back to Texas again for our get-together in March.
Because
many women, they talk about the highlight of that weekend, and of course you were the highlight. And, you know, the words you have to say are such important words. And once again, it's PatsyRayDawson.com, PatsyRayE. DAWSON.com. You can also find Patsy on the cover of my website at gayhusbands.com. On the right-hand side where I have links, you'll find a link to her website for Christian help. Or you can write to me at bonk@aol.com, and I'll be happy to send you a link to Patsy's website, which I keep on hand all the time to read. And Patsy, I can't thank you enough for being our guest. And I hope that at the end of the summer you'll come back and join us again, because it's always a treat to have you on.
Well, it's always a treat for me to be on, because you stimulate my thinking, and you ask those tough questions, so I appreciate that about you. And so I look forward to being on again, and thanks for having me this time.
All right, thank you so much. And listen, everybody, we'll be back here next week. I'll be here with Dr. Brian Hooper. A lot of people really enjoy listening to Dr. Brian. He's a gay psychotherapist, and he really tells things the way they are instead of trying to butter up anything. So please join us next week. If you have any questions, he's happy to answer them. And everybody has a wonderful week. And Patsy, I love you.
Well, I love you too, Bonnie, and I just really appreciate all the work you do, and I appreciate you telling it like it is.
Thanks. All right, and everybody have a great night, and we'll talk to you next week. Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye.